The name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's be turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And the message that I have for us here this morning, I'm really just beginning it. The title of the message might be the subject, you might say, is Spiritual Finances and the Economy of God. Spiritual Finances and the Economy of God. My goodness, what a subject this is. It's all through the Word of the Lord. And so this is not a one-time message. I am going to start this message because of, the announcement that we're going to make, what we're going to be doing as a church, our need. We have a need in our body, and that is that we need a new sound system. We need a new sound system. You know, that is probably not a real surprise to you that we need that. And so we're going to start, and this is the kickoff right here. And this message has got nothing to do with that in itself. I want you to know that. This is a message that we need to know and we need to understand in the body of Christ, because we're of the kingdom of God. You know, we're no longer of the world. We do not live under the world's system. We live in the world, but we're not of the world. And we live in the kingdom. We have received a kingdom. And so we want to know kingdom principles. We want to know kingdom way, you know, and we want to operate within them. And so that's part of it. Your finances has got something to do with that as well. And the blessing of the Lord, the prosperity of the Lord, and the like. You know, so those are the things that we're going to be looking at, and here's how we're going to do this. Now, first of all, let me tell you, here's what our need is. We need $20,000. That's what we need. We need $20,000. We're going to, what is that called, a mixing board? Is that a mixing board back there? We need a new mixing board. We need new speakers. We need new everything, So that's our goal. We're setting that forth right now. I'd like for you to be thinking about it. I'd like for you to be praying about it and lifting it up to the Lord as to what the Lord would have you to do in that. And then pray for us as a church. Pray for us as a church. Pray for all of us in this endeavor. So I want to lift that up, and that's what we're going to do. Now, here's what I'm going to do with this subject. As we progress along, I don't know how long this will last for me to preach this, but I'm going to preach this message, this subject, once a month. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to preach it once a month until I feel like that I've covered it. And then with that, I'll give you a report. I'll give you a report of how far that we have progressed in that. You know, just that it's a wonderful opportunity to be able to do that at that time. So that's what we're doing. That's what we're going. And so praise the name of the Lord. Everybody say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, there you go. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. You know, so I want to begin here with this. I really felt a delight. And I'm not blowing smoke at you. I'm not ministering hype to you. I hate hype. I hate it. I hate it like nobody's business. But I have felt a joy in my heart of the opportunity that we have of coming together in this need. This is a need that affects the ministry of the church, right? It enhances the ministry of the church. It progresses the ministry of the church. And it is not a want, it's a need, right? And so there we are. And us coming together, being of one heart, one mind, and going forward to raise this money, I've really felt a delight because of the opportunity that is presented before each and every one of us to receive the blessing of the Lord. And that's really important that we receive these blessings that God has got in store for us. These are subjects and issues that I've wrestled with for a long time in my walk, in my life. I know you maybe have too, in my ministry. You know, there was a time when I could barely even talk about prosperity, right? You know, because there's been so many abuses of prosperity, and even of the scripture that I'm going to read here, I'm giving us the principle of giving. The principle of giving, or we might call it the law of seed time. There is a law, there is a spiritual law that's involved here in sowing and in reaping. You know, and it's been so abused in so many ways that it's been difficult to preach about it. It really has. Or about money or anything like that. Oh, well, you know. Now, isn't it amazing we can talk about anything, but people get mad? Can I tell you who usually gets mad? All right. Who really gets mad is the people usually that don't give anything. That's the people that get mad. You know, when you start talking about money in church, you know, for the righteous are delighted to talk about money or anything like that. Plus, I must say to you as your pastor that, hey, it's fair game. It's in the Bible. Okay? It's fair game. I can preach anything that you can find in that Bible right there. It's fair game for me to cover. Okay, there. You know. So, you know, we want to know what the Word of God says. We don't want to be shy about such subjects. And here's one of the scriptures that we're going to begin with that, you know, that's been so used and abused in such a wrong way. I'm going to talk a little bit about that so that we can kind of clear that up. We're barely getting started here today, you know, as we're going in this subject. And then, like, again, I'm going to cover it about once a month. I'm going to cover it under this subject here, spiritual finances and the economy of God. Well, first of all, I want us to look here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we're going to look at verse 6. And verse 6 says, "Now this I say, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully." I know that you are very much aware of that scripture. Some of the things that I want to say about it is, first of all, he is talking about our money. He is talking about our money. And for example, like in verse 5, he uses the phrase, your bountiful gift, your bountiful gift. And so he's talking about how we spend our money. He's talking about our giving, and he's talking about our support of the work of the gospel and the ministry and those things that involve the ministry and the work of the gospel. In verse 13, he uses this word. He comes down there and he says, the liberality of your contribution, of your contribution. So, you know, clearly that when he says this and we look at this subject, that it is talking about money and is talking about giving and talking about support. Wow. What an incredible statement that is being made to you and I right here, right? You know, he says that if you sow sparingly, then you're going to reap sparingly, right? You know, and so, you know, I don't want to be one of those, do you? You know, so, you know, we need to look at these things when we say, Lord, I sure could use some financial help. Right? Lord, you know, I sure could use some financial relief. Now, I don't have any problem. You pray about every need that you have in your life. If you have financial need or whatever it would be, you should pray about those things. You should look and see how you spend your money, right? You should make sure that you're following the law of giving in the word of the Lord, because that's when God begins to bring his blessings, right? He begins to bless your finances. You know, and one of the big things that, you know, we get cheated out of all the time is that we look at something and we don't know how it would ever come about. And so we buy into the lie of the evil one. The fiery dart says, well, I just don't see how. Right? I just don't see how. It is not up to you to see how God would bring that increase. It's up to you that you believe upon the word of the Lord and you obey it and that you practice it. Right? That's important. And I'll show you in scripture in just a minute. Giving is not just for those that have an abundance. Giving is not just for those that have an abundance. It's for everyone in the body of Christ. It's for every believer. This word right here is for every single one of us. I tell you, even if I'm unemployed, I'm telling you right now, even if I'm unemployed, what God could do and changing things around, putting His hand upon you to cause you to prosper in your life, all because of the covenant promises of Almighty God. All right, now, so, you know, we want to understand that. And then it goes on and it says this. It says, and he who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Wow. Wow, that's exciting right there, isn't it? You know, that if you you give bountifully, then you will reap, according to the word of the Lord, you will reap bountifully. That's an amazing thing right there. You know, so I want you to know that God's will and God's plan for His people is to bless them. And I believe that there's no limit to the blessing of the Lord. I'm telling you right now, I don't believe there's any limits to the blessings of the Lord. You know, as we continue to believe God and we prove ourselves to be trustworthy servants in the kingdom of God, I'm telling you right now that there's no limit to how the Lord will want to bless you. Well, you know, someone will say, well, now, you know, I've got no reason to believe God. I'm secure, you know, and you know, I'm not rich, but, you know, I've got my money and all of that. You know, and you really don't believe God, I'm going to say shame on you. You need to start believing God, because it's not just simply about you. It's not simply about whether you're comfortable or whether you're secure financially or any other thing. It's also about the kingdom of God and how God would use you and what God would do with you and what open doors that He would bring. Whether you've got an abundance or whether, you know, you're trying to count pennies every week, it makes no difference. The principle of the kingdom is the same. And so that's where we want to be found. If I could just address this, I'm going to address it as we go along. You know, so this is a true principle or a law of giving in the kingdom of God, which has to do with sowing and then with reaping. And then we see what it says right here. You know, as I bring this up, you know, I want to talk just a little bit about the prosperity, the perverted prosperity message that has dominated so much for so long. And you know what in the world is it? They use these scriptures a lot. You know, turn over here and just look at another scripture. You'll hear this one quoted a lot, and this is in one page over in the eighth chapter. In the eighth chapter, and I'm going to read verse 9. It says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, that you through His poverty might become rich." Now, I just read that scripture and how true that scripture is. But, you know, it becomes twisted and it becomes turned. And then what happens is the whole point becomes about money. It becomes about money. And it becomes a way of giving to get. It centers around motive of heart. And this is what's been perverted about that message and even about the prosperity message. Actually, in reality, what it has done, it is promoted greed. That's what it has done. It has promoted greed, and it has promoted selfish ambition in the church. And I've seen many people come to ruin. They've come to ruin because they bit into the false message of prosperity. There's a real message of prosperity. God wants to prosper His people. But prosperity has got to do with a whole lot more than a dollar bill. A whole lot more than a dollar bill. You can have all the dollar bills in your bank account and be very, very, very poor. Be very, very poor. You know, so what it takes, they take advantage of people. I'm sorry. They take advantage of people that are, you know, new believers, newly baptized in the Holy Spirit, or maybe they're just a little bit naive. You know, they don't really dig in for themselves. If they hear it said or they hear it read, they just bite into it, you know, hook, line, and sinker, and then they run with it. And so all they need to hear, oh, goodness, God wants me to be rich. God wants me to, I just read it. The preacher just read it. He wants me to be rich. Yes, that's what it says. But it all doesn't amount to simply a dollar bill. It's not just a dollar bill. There's no greater poverty than you can have than that is to be separated from God and to be in darkness and to be lost in your sins. I mean, what else in the world matters? I mean, you know, you can have everything, you know, a jillion homes, a jillion dollars. But guess what? There's a time clock that's ticking in your life. You know, and that time clock is going by minute by minute by minute. And what's happening is you're headed toward eternity. Who in the world cares about $1 million, $1 trillion, 18 homes or whatever else it would be? What difference does it make? Because you live in poverty. You live in poverty because you are perishing and you're going to perish into eternity. That's poverty. That's poverty. And so that when you dig into that, I'll cover that later at another point in time. But a lot of people hear that and they just simply say, and the preacher tells them, say, oh goodness, God wants you to be rich, you know, and the way that you do it is through sowing and reaping, you know. And so you know other scriptures. You know what you're supposed to do is that, you know, seed faith, okay? You know, you give a dollar and you claim it. You claim the prosperity, you claim the promise, you know, and God's going to deliver 100-fold. Oh, man, that's a good plan, isn't it, right? That's a really good plan. That means that for every $1 that I give, God's going to give me $100, you know. Oh, man. And so what you have is the spirit of the world that has entered into the church. And the point of it is to bring people back to the way of the world, back to the way of the flesh, back to idolatry in their flesh and loving the world. Only now it's being disguised in the body of Christ and his doctrine and teaching from God. And it's brought ruin and destruction to many a life. You know, there's something that I want to say about this is that, you know, those that have, you know, what is wrong with that message? What's been wrong with that message? There's a real message, and then there's the perverted message that we find. What's been wrong with that message? Well, number one, as I said, it's all about money. It's all about money. And then number two is that the motive of heart is wrong. The motive of the heart. Let me just say a few things about those that I've observed that get caught up into that false doctrine. And when that doctrine gets into their heart and they think, oh gosh, you know, God's going to make me a millionaire. It's the will of God. You know what? True spirituality, this isn't said, but it's implied. And from that bunch. And that is that true spirituality is based upon how rich you are. You know, if you're really a spiritual person, then you got the dough. Right? You got the dough. You know, and what's wrong with you if you don't have the dough? You know, now listen, you know, that is an evil message. That is an evil message. You know, and those messengers are wrong in what they're preaching. It's false doctrine. It's false doctrine. You know, here, let me tell you what will happen to those people, you know, because they're, and God lets it rest. And, you know, there's been a lot of us have been brought out of those messages, right? And out of those doctrines and those things, you know, because, you know, we wanted Jesus more than we wanted a dollar bill. And we want blessings. We want God to bless. There's nothing wrong with you asking God to bless your finances. There's nothing wrong for you asking God to prosper you, even prosper you financially. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But what it gets down to is the motive of the heart. You know, and this is what you'll find a lot of times, you know, that it brings us into selfish ambition. Here's what you'll observe with those as time goes by, that doctrine has their heart and their heart is being proven. They will eventually complain about their prosperity. They will eventually complain about their prosperity. There'll be a disgruntling within their heart. You know, I kind of thought God would have done something before now. You know, they wouldn't say it this way. I would have thought I would have seen a return on my money by now. You know, I've been given for years, and I've been given for years, and I've been given for years, you know, and, you know, God hasn't, you know, prospered me the way that I thought that he would prosper. You're complaining and revealing a wrong heart. That's what's going on right there. Here's what happens to those people. Disappointment sets in. Disappointment sets in. Unbelief comes in. And a bitter heart of letdown overcomes them. A bitter heart. I've seen people turn away from the gospel because of it. I've seen people turn away from the gospel. Well, God doesn't do his promises. And it's all based upon a wrong teaching that they gave their heart to. A wrong teaching that they gave their heart to. And it'll bring you to ruin. There's other doctrines. And that's why it's important for us to talk about true doctrine and false doctrine. You know, it's not criticism. It's scripture. It's not criticism. It's scripture. And we need to know that. And we need to be aware of it so that we don't fall into those things that are coming forth in a wrong way. All right. Now, so how do you give? And what is the foundation heart? Well, let's go back here to that verse of scripture that's in chapter 9. And let's go back and let me read 6 and 7. And then I'm going to come down a little bit further. Here's 6 again. It says, "Now this I say, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully." And then it goes in verse 7, "Let each one do just as he has purposed in his heart." And then it gives some conditions here. It says, "Not grudgingly." Not grudgingly. You're not going to find the blessing of the Lord if your giving is done in a begrudging way, right? Or the next word that it uses is under compulsion. Under compulsion, I got a lot of people watching me, and I need to be sure that, I'm giving, and it becomes for appearance's sake or whatever it would be. So no, then, just don't give until, notice these are heart conditions. Do you notice that? Because it all boils down, it doesn't boil down to the dollar amount. This is where people who are needy and which God would want to bless, they lay down and they quit. They lay down and they quit because they, what can my little amount do? Or, I can't afford to give. Well, I'm going to say what's always said, all right? You can't afford not to give. You can't afford not to give. Because you heard the principle of giving, didn't you? If you sow sparingly, then you're going to reap sparingly. This is a kingdom principle. And if you sow bountifully, then you're going to reap bountifully. I didn't write that, right? That's God's word right there. So that principle going to apply to my life. It's going to apply to my life. So there you get a lot of people, like you're struggling financially or whatever it would be, and then you say, well, I can't give. Because I got bills to pay, or I got this, or I got that. Well, I'm going to tell you, they're never going to go away. And you're just digging a deeper hole by not obeying the word of the Lord. You need to obey God. You need to operate according to kingdom principles. And this is the first point of kingdom principle right here. Now, there's something else that I want to say about this that's very important for us. And that is that we need to understand the way that grace flows. The way that grace flows. Grace flows through faith. A lot of people look for the grace without really applying the faith. The way the kingdom works and the way that the new covenant works is that salvation is on the basis of faith through grace. That's not just simply in getting saved. That's how you receive all of the promises of Almighty God. This is how you walk with God. This is how you walk in the kingdom of God. That first that you believe, and then as you believe, then comes the grace that flows into your life. This is the way that the kingdom of God operates. Now, that's another subject, that goes along right with it. Boy, oh boy, hadn't the devil done a number, right? Taking the prosperity, and then taking the principle of the kingdom, faith, and then throws it over, and I'm going to say into a lot of falsehood and a lot of false messages. And then about the time the preacher starts talking about with faith, your mind runs immediately to that camp. Oh, that's that camp message, right? Or you talk about prosperity. Oh, that's that camp's message. And then we can't hear it anymore, right? Then we can't hear it anymore. We throw out the baby with the bathwater. You've heard that before, sure. And this is the age-old way of the evil one. If he can't get you in the deception, then he wants you to run so far that the other end that you can't hear the part that is true that's being mixed with the deception. Then the evil one's cheated you out of the promises of God. That's how he operates. That's how he works, right? You know, so number one is that, you know, don't give mindlessly, okay, or empty-hearted. You know, you believe on God. If you tithe, and you should, because that's a principle in the Word of God. If you can't tithe, then come to the place to where you can tithe. You know, start making a difference. Start making a headway, okay, of going forward in your tithing. Your blessings are tied up into that. Do you understand that? You know, let's just talk about it. You know, someone says, oh, bless me, Lord. Oh, bless me, Lord. Oh, bless me, Lord. But my money is mine, and I'm not going to obey God. All right? But oh, bless me, Lord. Oh, bless me, Lord. It's not good. That's not good, right? You know? What do you think? What do you think the Lordship of Jesus Christ really means? It means everything, doesn't it? Right? You know, can I just read a scripture to you right here? Let me find it. Just listen to this. I was going to use it. I will use it again. But this comes from Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. He is also head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. That's the Lord Jesus. So that he himself might come to have first place in everything. First place where? In everything. That particular Greek word there for everything is the word pass or pas, P-A-S. And this is, what it means is that, you know, that he would be all and in all, and that he would be the Lord of all. So I make him Lord of my life means that he's the Lord of everything, and that I'm his, and everything that I have is his. And I'm to be his servant, right? With what I have. Just obey God. All right. You know, so I don't want to keep you a lot longer here with this, but I do want to just a little bit more. Come on down here again, and I want you to see here as we come on to verse 7, let each one do just as you purpose in your heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, but God loves a cheerful giver. I know you've heard this so many times. I realize that. You know, but let's get this in our heart right here. Not under compulsion, not begrudgingly. And I'm sure you've heard this. The Greek word for cheerful here is hilaros, okay? H-I-L-A-R-O-S is where we get the word hilarious, right? That's pretty good. Isn't that neat? That is just neat right there. You know, so God wants you and I to be a hilarious giver. Is that right? To be a hilarious giver. You know, and then another place in Scripture says, you don't give what you don't have, you give what you do have, right? Okay? Now, tithing, we'll talk about at another point in time. But let God into your finances. Let God into your finances and watch the blessing of the Lord. Now, here's another point that I want to make, if you can bear with me just a little bit. And this is verse 10. Verse 10 says, Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. You know, so, you know, that's an example right there. You know, so, you know, the farmer, you know, farmers and planting seed is an illustration that's used all through scriptures, right? You know, in bringing us to increase or bringing us into harvest or bringing us into fullness of blessing of God, right? You know, so, you know, the farmer, he's got to plant a seed, doesn't he? He's got to go plant a seed. If he doesn't go plant a seed, he's not going to have any harvest, is he? Right? And he can go out there and look at that tilled ground all he wants to, right? But until he plants a seed, there's just nothing that's ever going to come up, right? Unless it's weeds, you know? And a lot of people got a lot of weeds in their life, just to be honest with you, because they're not planting the way that God can bless them. All right, so let's look at that again. You know, so now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. Now look at this. Now this applies to you in a spiritual way. Will supply and multiply your seed for sowing. Now look at this, an increase the harvest of your righteousness. You know, isn't that interesting? He doesn't say the harvest of your finances. He says the harvest of your righteousness. Now, this is one of the major points right here where the prosperity message has gone wrong. Okay? You know, because it didn't say that God would give you $100 for every $1 that he would give. They take other scriptures and they twist them, right? They get into all of that Old Testament. I love Old Testament. You know, well, you know, this would be God after that kind, and this kind got be God after that kind. And they're all going to somewhere in that message. And where they're going is that, hey, if you want money, give me money. If you want money now, okay, then you need to give money. You know, because what God will do is he will bless you according to the kind that you give. This is twisted. This is twisted in the perverted gospel, okay? And it's not the scriptures. And we don't have to shy away from the Word of God because of the abuses that have gone forth. It says that the harvest of your righteousness. Now, you know, pray about your finances. Pray about your financial needs. Get your house in financial order if you need to do that from a scriptural standpoint. No matter how much you've been wrong, you know, don't continue to live in it. Start the process of coming out of it, right? Okay, that's number one. Then number two is that he will promises you in the principle of seed time and harvest, of sowing and reaping, that he will bring an increase to your righteousness. See, some people need the blessing of more than a dollar bill. To some people, there are blessings and needs that are so deep that a dollar bill can't ever change it. And it doesn't matter how much money that you got, that money is never going to be able to buy that blessing that can only come from God. Okay? And there's the point where they go so terribly wrong, right there, in that point right there. God does not promise you an increase in your bank account by itself. No, it's better than that. It's better than that. God is going to bring forth the increase of harvest to the point of where you need it. Where you need it. Because he's going to bless you with the riches of the kingdom. The riches of the kingdom. Soundness of heart. Soundness of mind. Soundness in body. Being happy. Being happy. Content. Overcoming. Hopefulness. Who's going to put a dollar bill on that? See, but yet it's tied to our money. I just can't get away from that part, you know, in sowing and reaping. But where the increase is coming and the prosperity comes is the harvest, an increase in righteousness. Kathy, would you all come on?